All honor and adoration belongs to the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And with humility this morning, I handle the microphone. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Amen. Hallelujah. It has all been said. I'm a mother indeed. Amen.
Amen.
That is a statement that moves me all the time when I remember my position as a mother and the Assistant General Overseer of Christ Way Tabernacle. Deborah, after fighting a big battle, said to himself when he started to speak about herself, said, I, Deborah, until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. And I can call myself, until I rose,
Amen.
A mother in Christ Way Tabernacle.
Amen.
Things were not the way it's supposed to be for women. But I decided to take the boldness to move on. And I pray in Jesus' name, the Lord will see me to the end.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Sometimes it might not be easy, but when you have Jesus, Jesus makes it easy.
Yes.
Sometimes I cry all night that God might give me the grace to be the mother of this church. After some revelation that God might have shown to me, or after I've seen the way people have acted, or the way people have behaved, but you have to forgive them at all times. But this is not me. And you can just say to yourself as well, when you have to be begging God for people all the time. But God would bring to me and say to me, what did Jesus do when he was nailed on the cross? By people that he loved. By people that he died for. By people that he did everything for. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So my heart is always open. Someone gave me an almanac. And Pastor Debbie, you must have forgotten. That almanac, it was when I had flood that I did not see it anymore. But the words are still in my head. It says, a mother's heart is like a rose. Always open. Always open and always loving. These words never depart from my head. And I wore on my mind and my heart. I want to have it printed again and put it like a portrait in my house. A mother's heart. So I want you to write this down. A mother's heart is like a rose. Do you know something about rose? When you plant roses in your garden, there are some that have beautiful smell. Every rose has beautiful smell. Amen. So for every woman, you must have a beautiful smell. Apart from the perfume, the aroma of the grace of God upon your life must affect people. The aroma of the grace of God upon your life must change people. The aroma of the grace of God upon your life must transform. Hallelujah. And that is what I pray for every woman in this meeting this morning. Every girl that is coming to become a woman. Amen.
Amen.
Because we all started young. But thank God for my life in my teenage age. He met me on the crossroad and brought me to himself. And from that time, I have never changed. My parents are not, you quote, Christians, but they love God. My parents did not serve like I'm serving now, but they love God. And through the grace of God upon my life, the whole of my family, both mom and dad, and the 10 of us children, we all love the Lord today. And by the grace that God has placed upon my life as a young girl. So if you are here, maybe your parents are not born again, or they are born again, they are playing church, make sure that you make it as a point to really help them to get to where they are. My mom kept on glorifying the name of the Lord as she was passing on in her 90s. So I want to pray for every woman here. You will be that rose that brings good smell, that we always love. Even when people hate you, love them. It's difficult, but you have to still love them. And that is the message for this morning. Because when everything was read, I started looking at the women of Royal Destiny when we started. But not everybody that started the group with me are here today. Not by death. Only one person that I can remember, or two that have died. The rest are every other places, but they said they're going to start with me. They're going to be with me forever. Hardly did I know that it will not be with me forever. But all the same, everyone is seeing what God is doing through this group. You have heard it read this morning. It's in Chandigarh. This group is gone to India. This group, even Ghana, they are calling me now, but I don't know how to go. But the Lord will grant me the grace to go to Ghana. Amen. Many other places are calling me. West Africans are calling me. But by the grace of God upon my life, the Lord will help me. Amen. As you help to lift my hands, like the Aarons and the Oars, and we all do the work. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Without wasting time, this morning I want to say congratulations to every woman of royal destiny. If you are a woman in Christ with Tabernacle, you are a woman with a royal destiny. You know, there are several things that happen to women. Why are we called women of royal destiny? I personally, because I don't have, we've never been to the palace before, I've never seen the queen, you know, with an angry face outside. Even when she's not all right, you always see that face glowing and, but it's not that everything is okay. Women with a royal destiny, you must be able to be that icon for the Lord. Hallelujah. When things are not going well, not because what's wrong again? What's wrong again? Is it not this person? Is it not that person? Is it not? No. You are not such women. You are women with a royal destiny. Always have that behind your mind. And there's something about rose. When you go to pick rose in the garden, if you don't use the right equipment or instrument, what happened? It shooks you. Amen. As loving as a mother would be, mother will always teach and guide you so that you don't make mistakes. So sometimes it might be like the rose that shook you because you are disobedient or something like that. But when mother shook you, they bring you again close and you can see, this is me. I forgive easily. I don't have time to for business. I can tell you off now, but when I see you at the door again, hello, my dear. I've forgotten. Where did this? Sorry. I'm so sorry. That is my life. And I pray that this will reflect on everybody.
Amen.
You cannot keep grudge. You cannot keep malice. You cannot have this one hurt me, that hurt me, carry this in your heart. You can't have that. You cannot be jealous. You just want to be satisfied with the grace of God upon your life. As the man of God apostle said, we'll be visiting. And I pray yesterday, I said to God, God help me so that I'll be able to come more regularly to affect lives here. So that as I'm affecting your life, you're also affecting other people's life. And it will be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have been looking at the portrait of an ambitious woman. In one word, the word portrait, that is the picture. How does God picture you? What type of picture are you? When you take your photograph, you know, this is very common with me because I know how I look like. I know there's other people that can tell you how you look, right? When you take me picture and it's not good, I tell you, this nose is not the nose, you know. These eyes are really not that eye, the eyes that I carry on. I'll tell you the truth, even if it's my picture. So when someone takes your picture and they bring your picture to me and say, no. I give you a joke. There was a time I was with, a lot of you know my twin, Reverend May. We learned when we both were celebrating one of our birthdays, and we learned that we are twins. We are born the same day, the same month, the same year. So we became twins by force. So I was in Reverend May's office. There is a lady in the church that drew this, I would say beautiful, but not beautiful. You know, that kind of a thing. And when the lady brought the picture to Reverend May, you know, Reverend May was trying to, you know, put on a good face. And this drawing was really terrible. Was so ugly. This is not the Reverend May that I know. And this is not the Pastor Salami that I know. And I didn't know that the person who drew that picture was there with us. Reverend was showing everybody. Don't you look at me, I look so pretty. One of my members did this. You know, with due respect to her, she was happy because if they give you anything, you just want to appreciate. Just wanted to appreciate, but not because that thing is really beautiful. I can tell you this cake table is not good. I tell you this cake table is not good. You understand? But she was just trying to. Everybody was excited because they know who drew the picture. They knew the real thing, that the picture is not good. And everybody was, I said, Reverend, you know what? Let me say something to you. That picture is not, it's not you. You are not the one in this picture. It's very bad. So what is the good? How can you be deceiving my friend? My twin sister, for that matter. You can, before you know, this lady that drew the picture was really, you can imagine the. So I didn't know. I was just talking mine. Everybody was silent at that time. So that was the time that I now come to realize and say something must be wrong. I said, Reverend, tell me. Because nobody said anything anymore. Nobody praised the picture anymore. Because I have really condemned the picture. I really condemn it in the right context, you know. I said, this is not you. Whoever drew this picture did not draw you. You should go and learn more on how to. And I was like hammering it. But with the silence, and I said, Reverend, keep quiet. Very much unlike me. He's not a quiet person. Then one of the sisters, because she didn't see anything. Mom, you know everybody calls mom, right? Mom, sister, I drew this picture. Oh, I said, my dear, sorry. And I hugged her. I said, I'm sorry. You did a great job. I know you put all skills in this thing. And the Lord that began this drawing with you will bring you to completion. We teach you more because of what I said today. Your pictures will be sold all over. I start prophesying so that I can change the cloud and the atmosphere. And I hugged her, I begged her, apologized. I said, I feel I'm saying the truth, but just forgive me. You know, and it ended there. Thank God for that lady. Even if she did not accept it, she was matured. Oh, no problem, ma. It's fine. It's, you know, she was very polite. She didn't tell me off, which you might expect from some people who say it's not good. But she demonstrated maturity. So we are looking at picture today. Amen. Is your picture a beautiful picture of that woman that God has created? Or is it over ambitious type of woman that you are? So the picture of an ambitious woman. There are two ways to being ambitious. I won't go back to my message. I can go to the new messages that I have for you today. People, you can be positively ambitious and you can be negatively ambitious. I showed you the picture in the book of Matthew 20 about the woman that was there, negatively ambitious. She was actually looking for a position for her two sons. Today, you'll be able to know, because this message is to help us so that we can develop ourselves and know that, why am I in this church? Am I here because I'm ambitious for position? Am I here because I just want to be myself? I want to love God. Am I here to seek the face of the man of God? And it's like, they don't, I'm supposed to be a deaconess by now. And I don't know why they be putting this one, deaconess, that deaconess. Ooh, why are they not? Are you here because of that? Are you here because of position? Or you are here to do the work? As a growing church, I bring this message to you. I humble myself so that you can be able to receive it. I know why you are here. Are you here because you want to show off? Is that you in the house? Are you here because you want to prove to Pastor Benson that you know more than him? It happened in church. Ambition can make you to be like that. Are you here to demonstrate I'm a leader too? My place of work. What do they know? I've been born again before this guy that is fastering us. Is that the reason why you are here? Ambition can take you there. To be proud for nothing. Are you here like the Pharisees? I know how to pray before. They can teach me how to pray. That's ambition. Or are you here to submit and learn? Today, the Lord will help us. In the name of Jesus. The picture, the lifestyle, the artistic representation of a person, the painting, the drawing, the photograph, or engraving of a person. We have looked at that yesterday. To be ambitious is a good thing, I said to us. But when you are negatively ambitious, then you have problem. Hallelujah. Let me quickly go to my scripture, the book of Matthew 20 is our main scripture for this. Matthew chapter 20, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, the Acts and the letter to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. That's how to memorize the whole Bible. Hallelujah. That's how we're taught. This woman came to Jesus and humbled herself. Deception. You know, one of the things that goes with ambitious people is that they deceive people a lot. Eh? Most holy. But at your back, they are eating you. At your back, they are destroying you. Ambitious people. This woman came, to those of you that followed us yesterday, kneeling down. Humble, but he has an intention. Jesus was there crying the pain of his heart. I'm about to die. I will be nailed to the cross. There is something that is about to happen to me. You all know what I'm going through, but they are going to kill me. On the third day, I'm going to come to life again. And these people are looking for Peter. When Jesus died, who's going to be the next person? Who's going to be in position? The mother of these children too, they were there. When Jesus died, yeah, you will be the best. You will be the best. So the mother of James and John. And guess what Jesus said to them? And that is where I'm going to start today. He said, she said, this is Jesus asking Matthew 20, 21. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Because Jesus was telling them about the kingdom. You know, he said to them, that book of John chapter 10, do not let your heart be troubled. He said, believe in me. I'm living, but I'll be leaving behind for you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. He was sharing his heart to all these people. But they were looking for a position. Jesus replied, the mother said, one of these, my two children, let one sit on your right, let the other sit on your left. They are worried for position, ambition. Ambition. You don't know what you are asking. You don't know what you're asking. You don't know. Jesus replied. Someone once said to me, I don't know that being a pastor's wife is a 24-hour job. It is more than that. A lot of you went to bed yesterday. You slept well, isn't it? But as a pastor's wife, you cannot sleep. There is no sleep for your eyes. You have to pray for the church. Jesus did not sleep. Jesus can't sleep. If not, the work wouldn't have been completed. For you to have position in the church, you cannot sleep. To be what I call ordinary deacon or deaconess, you cannot sleep. When that oil is poured on your head, Saturday, you must pray till morning. You can't sleep. You find time to be, it's not something that you are just scratching head and then, no, you can't sleep. There must be a scripture that you must hold for Sunday. That you are praying, God, Lord, this is what should happen in church. And you are praying, let people that come, the sick, they go back home rejoicing, like what happened in the time of Jesus. You cannot. So to be on the right or to be on the left of Jesus is not for an ambitious person. It's not for someone that is negatively ambitious. It's for someone that is positively ambitious. The church in London has grown now that we need more than 6 to 10 people counting money on a Sunday. They don't go home until late. And their wives release them for that. Are you listening to me? You want to be on the right? On the left of Apostle Williams, you want to be people that are serving in ministry. You cannot eat all the time. You have just finished first, second, and third. You cannot afford to just text in and say, I'm not coming. I'm tired, you know? You have to be in church 24 hours. That's what I'm talking to you today about. Then Jesus said, you cannot be a proud person to be on the right. You cannot be on the left of Jesus. You cannot be a talkative. Pastor, me, I'm not. You cannot be making friends that backbite. You can't. You cannot do those six things that God hates. Put it on the board. Let me, what's up? Because I'm whetting your appetite to know. To be on the right, to be in the ministry, not one leg in, one leg out. You can't do that. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, from verse 17 or so. Because I have to, this is a growing church, we must know. We must know as a growing church. There are some things you cannot do. Could you put all of them together? I want you to know it. 16, yes. To be on the right, on the left of Jesus, is something that you can deceive yourself to do. There are six things the Lord hates. Maybe you have never heard this before. Those of you that are coming from with me from London, you know it's one of my favorite scriptures. Seven that are detestable to him. What are the six things? Let's begin to see it. Hurty eyes. I'm talking to women now, isn't it? Come on. Hurty eyes. Even some men, when you are a man and you find yourself having these hurty eyes, you have a problem. Some men do it to their wives at home. Some men do it to people in their offices. Some people do it to friends in the office and you want to reflect Jesus. You want to be on the right, on the left of Jesus. You cannot do these six things. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Lie, because I want to make friends with this sister. And he's a friend of this man, you understand? I want to make friends with this man. And you know, I don't know how to put it. Then I begin to run any one of the two of them down. A lying tongue, you tell lies. Is it this sister you are going out to eat? Is that devil? Talking to women. Lying tongue. When you have peace with this sister, is peaceful. The sister is good. Everything, but you are lying so that you can destroy people. I'm talking about sitting on the right, on the left of Jesus. Hands that shed innocent blood. I've demonstrated it to you now. You cannot do all these things. I'm going to tell you the reason why Jesus was telling that woman, it is not for me to decide it. It is for God that sees the heart of man. In Jeremiah, we have been studying, the heart of man is deceitful, full of evil. I can see your heart, you can see my heart. But by the fruit that comes out of you, we can see your heart. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked scheme. Are you such a person in this church that devises wickedness, wickedness? May the Lord uproot it from you.
Amen.
If you have it, may the Lord. Hands that shed innocent blood. Somebody did not offend you, just want to destroy that person. The man of God is doing the work well, you just want to destroy him. You want to frustrate him. There are people that frustrate men and women of God in the church. They frustrate each other. You cannot sit on the right or on the left of Jesus. Feet that are quick to rush to do evil. When they are ganging up in your office, you are the first person to carry the placards. Or in the church, the first person to destroy. May that not be you. A false witness who pours out lies. And a person who says of conflict in the community. If I have to preach that false witness, who was that lie? 1 Kings 21, about Jezebel. Ask two people to false fasting, to fast. Do a lot of wrong things. Using the word of God to manipulate people. Are you such people? You cannot sit either on the left or on the right of Jesus. This is what Jesus said here. He says here, let's look at he said, you don't know what you are asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Jesus was asking, can you wear that crown I'm going to wear shortly. The songwriter says, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingle down. Did a sad love and sorrow meet? No blood composed, so rich her crown. Hallelujah. Can you drink this cup? Sorrow and love were flowing through. Jesus was loving the people the more they are nailing him. This is happening in the church with negatively ambitious people. Friends are loving you, but they are nailing them. He said, can you, I don't think, you don't know what you're talking about. The cup, the bitter thing, the gall that they gave to Jesus to drink on the cross. Can you face it? When the nails were penetrating through, when the whip that is off blade were passing through Jesus' side, can you, there are sometimes you have not even gotten cane. You are just, people cane you with their mouth. You cannot give up because Jesus did not give up. Amen. So he asked them, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? Listen now. We can. They answered. I wish they had not answered like that. I give you a joke. When my son-in-law, I was to go the first time, because I'm the first to go, and when my daughter is giving up, I don't even want any man anymore. I said, no, me, I'm going to go for this one. Let me go. When I got to him, don't tell him this story, except you hear on the tape. And I asked, after we have been talking, because I don't like stingy people around me. I said, can I ask you, I'm going to be rude. Are you a stingy man? Because I can't stand stingy people. They can't give to themselves, neither can they give to God, neither can they give to, you understand? So I asked him, I was a little bit rude. I said, are you a stingy man? Head down, eyes closed. Then head up again. Time will tell, ma. That's a good answer, isn't it?
Yes.
Very wise man. I still create that joke till now. But time is telling. Time is telling. Because I really want to know whether he's a stingy man. Because if you're a stingy man, you know about the story of 1 Samuel chapter 25. You can't give to yourself. You'll be self-centered. Never. You'll be self-centered. Then you can't even give to your wife. Not to come and say give to. Because I'm going to give you. I'm going to spoil you. You know me. It's not that he now understands what I was saying at that time. I'm going to spoil you as a son-in-law. The way I spoil my boys. Are you listening to me? So I asked, are you stingy? Time will tell, but time is telling. Hallelujah. Because when a man is stingy, you can hear that now. You can't give to your wife. You cannot even give the church when you are stingy. Are you listening to me? That's the deviation. Sorry about that. I just need to bring that. He said, why do you ask me? No. He's here. Jesus now replied. We can, they answered. I wish they didn't answer like that. We can. Who said you can? Thank God that Peter was not among these people that answered. Because when the time came, he couldn't. He denied Jesus, even after being told. But they could, can you drink of that cup? The work of ministry is not easy. We want our mommy to come out and our daddy, thank you for yesterday. Anyway, accept your gifts and the basket and everything. People envy you for that, you know. Thank God for our money. Thank God for this. And then you are collecting the present. It's not easy. You don't know the sacrifice that go with that basket. And that card yesterday. It's Jehovah that is rewarding you. When you serve a ministry, God will reward you. That's what I'm saying. Why do you ask me? No. I keep on going. Please. He said, it's not for me to grant that position that what you have come, Because you must be able to drink from the cup. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father. It is only those that serve God in spirit and in truth that can sit in this position. It is not for grumblers. It is not for jealous people. It is not for gossips. This position is not for people that are serving so that they can see them in the church. This position is not for Pharisees. I pay my tithes. What is the church doing my tithe for? I come to prayer meeting. The church is doing nothing for me. They didn't even ask of me when I'm sick. It's not for such people. This position is for people that will humble themselves. Hallelujah. God said, this is not for me to grant. Jehovah sees. Jehovah knows. It is for only God that sees the heart of man that is deceitful. It is only God that can change the stony heart into flesh. It is only God that can change people from worldliness. It is not for people that are worldly. You can't be worldly and sit in that position. It is not people that have peer pressure. The Bible said, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. He said the things that is in the world, the lust of the eye, is not for adulterers. It is not for whatever you want, the things of the world. It is not for those people. It is not for people that are stingy to sit on the right or to sit on the left of Jesus. It is only for people that will be in that position and you will represent God well. You are among your friends. They don't know whether you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. What proves you? I'm not talking about holy, holy attitude. Don't wear earring. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. Don't wear this. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about your lifestyle at home. It is not for people that are rude. That position that we are talking about here. That position to serve in the household of faith. It is not for people that disobey their pastors. It is not for people that ask questions. Why? No. It is not for such people, that position. I'm talking about this position because I know you are a growing church. Hallelujah. Amen. I will teach this in another way in another church. It is not for people that does those 6 things that God hates. It is not for people like that. It is not for people that comes to show up in the church. No. Don't get me wrong. You have to dress. It is not people that want to dress like the world. No, that position is not for you. At all. He says here, these places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by God. That was, you know, the man of God teaches from the book of Romans. The scripture is not coming. He said, there's a lot of us now, God have seen us before we got born again. Predestined us. And the position is made for you. And then you come, then you begin to mess that position up. God himself that put you there will remove you. May we not be removed.
Amen.
A lot of churches are closing down today. Why? Members are fighting their pastors. Pastors are fighting their members. Things are happening. I was here. One of you yesterday was telling me about Pastor Benson. Let's put our hands together for him. A man of God indeed. She said to me, I love Pastor Benson. He knows how to teach us the word and he knows how to, you know, do this way, do that way. I was so happy to hear that news. When you are doing the job well, you get appraisal of the people. But if you make it tough for the people, you never get the appraisal. When I tell people, I say, you look so good, you look good. How are they following you? I say, follow me well. Don't overdo it. Follow me well. It is for those people that are example on earth that that position belongs to because we are going to reign with him forever and ever. Even on earth here, Ephesians talk about it, we are seated with him. Anyone that is positively ambitious, you will forever sit with him. Even as I'm talking, we are sitting with him in the heavenly places. Far above principalities. That's why you cannot be in the world at all because your seat is in heaven. You are controlling from heaven. I've been trusting God for this promotion. Do you know that God has set his word apart? Maybe the reason why you are not getting that promotion is because you have not distinguished yourself like Daniel distincted himself among the people. Though he was a slave, But everything that he was taught from his royal background, that's what he acted when he was where he was in slavery. And it was well with him. You want it to be well with you? You don't come and play church today, tomorrow you are playing the world. Then you'll be seated with him in the heavenly places. When the 10 other disciples, only two of them now that were seeking for a position. Even the 10 too were seeking for a position. I didn't have time to put you through that scripture, but maybe in another I will teach. Because they were discussing something. How they are going to take over from Jesus to some of these disciples. When Jesus was pouring out his heart, but Jesus saw their heart and he was asking them, what are you people talking about? Then they were so afraid. They didn't say anything to them. But let's see, the 10 now, in this, according to Matthew, the 10 other disciples said, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant and not happy. With the two brothers, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be what?
Your servant.
Must be what?
Your servant.
Whosoever wants to sit on the right, on the left of Jesus, must have a servant heart. The pyramid, I said to us, is upside down. You must have that servant heart. You must be ready to serve. You must be ready to serve. That's why I'm raising people. That's why I'm teaching people. You must be ready to humble yourself. There are some people that are in my position and I can't sit down here with you. You understand? But God has made it easy for me to sit down with him in heavenly places. So Jesus sits with everybody. I sit with everybody. I talk with everybody. I joke with everybody. But sometimes I have to mind my jokes. Amen. Are you listening to me? In wanting to be like everybody, because that's what Jesus did. That's why when they came to take Jesus that very night, in his agony, they did not know who he was or is, because Jesus is still living. Amen. Amen. And they have to betray him with a kiss. Said, whoever wants to be in that position must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be what? Your slave. You want to come and lead prayer here? You want to be ordained deacon, deaconess, or anything? You must humble yourself. Not someone that once they give you that microphone, then you begin to curse everybody in the church. Instead of leading people to pray, then you are talking. Hey, the other day, that's not prayer. We need to pray for Pastor Benson because it seems he's changing now. That's not prayer. That's Phariseeism prayer. We need to pray for some sisters. We need to pray for brothers. We need to... Are you joking? When you start to use people to pray, that is no more prayer. You can't sit on the left or on the right of Jesus. Because this is what happened. You know, we started like this. When we are but a few in number, if you are not very careful, you'll be taken away from the focus. And these things does not make church to grow. When you sit on the right, allowed to sit on the left of Jesus, doing the right thing, your church will just be growing. Your church will just be growing. I'm here to help you so that we can grow the church together. Amen.
Amen.
He says here, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. You cannot serve, you can't get there. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why today you will see me here, because he saved me. Hallelujah. That's why today I see you here, because he saved you. But we don't want one starting that he saved me, I saved you. No. We want to reflect him as those that are delivered from the kingdom of darkness into his wonderful kingdom of light. Now I'll quickly take you to Jesus' service. How did Jesus serve his disciples? And that's what Jesus said we should do to one another. Amen. You are all familiar with this feet washing. But some churches today are not doing it as Jesus did. They are worshiping both ugly, bad, and the whatever feet they want to wash. But that's not how Jesus did it. God wants you to do it in the spiritual. Amen? He said Jesus teaches his disciples. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour has come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the same way you have to love. Don't love the world by imitating them, but love them by reflecting God on a regular basis. Don't let people ask you, do you say you are a Christian? If you are a Christian, then we have to put question mark. Are you such a Christian? May the Lord help us.
Amen.
So the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. You can't be a betrayer if you want to sit on the right, on the left of Jesus. Judas pretended for a long time, but when the time came, he was revealed. May we not be revealed for bad things.
Amen.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes. Jesus meant business. Hallelujah. And wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus, to wash my feet. Jesus, to bring himself so low. You can't wash my feet. Just like Pastor Benson said, you now bring your feet, let me wash. Will you tell me the truth? Will you bring your feet? No, Pastor, you can't do that. No, Pastor. So, Jesus was demonstrating humility, amen, to his disciples. And that's what he said. For anyone to sit on my right or to sit on my left, it's not for me to judge. It's for God who sees your heart. For you to be ordained, I've seen somebody and say, how can you ordain people? You ordain my husband. May God help you. How can you ordain my wife? They're the same colleague. We see things in the church. It is not for God. It is for only those that God puts in the man of God's heart. You can be there. We have been here now for 29 years, isn't it? There are some people that are not still there, not today. But I feel that I want here in the church, they will not end. Amen. By your fruits, you shall be ordained. Amen.
Amen.
But everybody still continue to work, and we are doing the work. And as we are getting matured, God will place it on Pastor Benson, whoever he needs to be in that position. So this is, he said, when Simon, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Ha! Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. May God wash us inside out this morning.
Amen.
So that we can have part in him. That's the only time that we can sit with him. He will wash all those dirty habits, those six things that God hates. Jealousy, washed out. Backbiting, washed out. Things that cannot make you as a human being. Disobedient, washed out. When God washes you, you will be like a baby that is washed. When a baby is well washed or looked after, what happened to that baby? We'll be sleeping. Then you have a glorious rest. That's what I'm about to get to. May God wash us this morning.
Amen.
Including myself, because I don't know myself too, you understand? Let God wash us so that we can be example to the core. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He came to Simon Peter. Are you going to wash my feet? You do not realize what I am doing. But later you will understand. A lot of us are understanding because Jesus has washed our feet, washed us inside out. Then we can reflect him. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well. He washed our hands, head, inside, every part of our body so that we can represent him well. Those who have had the bath need only to wash. Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. Judas is there, is not clean. Did there not be a Judas among us?
Amen.
For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said to everyone, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes. For Jesus meant business. Sometimes we need to take off our clothes. Amen. In the spiritual, I'm talking about, because you have to tell me to take my clothes now, you run away. You understand? We have to take those filthy things that have become clothes on us for us to reflect Jesus. Anything that wants to debar Jesus from washing his feet, maybe, you know, the way they used to tie their clothes all around themselves. Maybe when you carry somebody's feet, that one will come out again like the Indians. Then you go, no, say that. Nothing to distract me. So my advice to you, if you want to sit on the right, the left of Jesus this morning, is to take away everything that will distract your attention in the name of Jesus. For he knew who was going to betray him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? Like what I'm doing this morning, I'm washing us. Hallelujah. Washing us with the word. Forgive me if I've offended you. Forgive me. Same way I'm washing you this morning. I'm washing myself. May we be clean. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that we can sit on the right and on the left of Jesus. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Didn't say you should backbite. We should reflect him. The same way he humbled himself, we should humble ourselves before each other. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. No one is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We are blessed.
Yes.
As we reflect Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accept anyone I send, accept me. And whoever accept me, accept the one who sent me. As we humble ourselves and going out to preach the scripture, people will accept us.
Amen.
As the man of God bring the message to you, as I'm bringing your message to you, if you accept this scripture, you accept Christ himself. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
I seal this word in the name of the Father,
Amen.
And of the Son,
Amen.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are looking at Jesus has a positive ambition to make sure that disciples get clean so that they can do the work. And that's what I've come to do. I have a positive ambition that Bristol Church is clean. Amen.
Amen.
I'm washing you right now with the word. And you are clean so that you can go out there to reflect God like never before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
Just want to quickly round up with this little other part of the scripture. A negatively ambitious daughter. And this you can see in the book of Mark. Because of time, I'm not going to read it, but you go home and read it. Now, this thing about John the Baptist, we all know about John the Baptist, that he's a wild preacher. He goes to the wilderness and he's preaching from the wilderness. And he's telling people every mountain shall be subdued. Every valley shall be exalted. He was preaching. And everybody were just like preaching from New Cross and the Buckingham Palace. They are hearing me. That was what John was doing. He was in the wilderness on his own, eating only locusts and honey. No food. To do this work of ministry, you can't just be eating anyhow. You can't put on weight. Like I'm putting on weight like this. And that's what I'm trying to reduce. Amen?
Amen.
So that I can be light when I'm going. There's no pain, nothing whatsoever. Then I want to go ahead with ministry work. So John the Baptist was there preaching and talking against the palace. How the king has taken over the wife of his brother. I don't trust things that are happening in the palace. He was just speaking. He didn't. May God help us. If the spirit of John the Baptist come upon you, we go to prison. I'm praying, Lord. I want this spirit, but help me as I portray the word of God. He was just shouting, telling them off. But you know one thing. If you read that book of Mark and the other book that talks about Matthew as well, 14, he said the Herod loved John the Baptist because of his integrity. He loved him for the truth of the word that he's preaching. Can I say to you, you must love Pastor Benson. Even when the word is hitting you with Cain, then it's like, you know, sometimes men and women of God, they pick things and they will speak. Oh, he's talking about me now. Why don't you sing to your sister or brother? He's talking about me all the time. Fed up of hearing that message again. But the Herod was happy with John the Baptist. Before I finish, if I get that scripture, I bring it to you. Herod was very happy because of John's integrity. Because John was speaking the truth. But there is this Herodia that was there at that time. Because he's the one that was married into the palace. Adulterous woman. What the Bible says about that, he said you must not even marry your brother's wife. And that's what this Herod did. Because of that, this Herodia, maybe she's the one forcing herself. Ambitious woman, she wants to be in the palace. Are you listening to me? And when John the Baptist began to preach this message, which Herod loved, but this woman does not love it, Herod and some of his advisors, and this woman, they make sure that John was put in prison. It's a shame that his head was cut off by an ambitious girl and same woman. Are you listening to me? So in preaching the message, just pray for all these negatively ambitious people that want to put you in prison and cut off your head. Hallelujah. So we have to pray for all our evangelists. We have to pray for them. Herodia and her negatively ambitious daughter. Herodia had been looking for an opportunity to have John the Baptist silence for speaking against her adulterous marriage with Herod Antipas. So she has been looking for opportunity. And this was a publicly issued and exposed to everyone by John. Say to the palace, every mountain, say to this, say to that, I was shouting, preaching, convicting people. Many people came to John the Baptist when he was preaching. Teachers came, tax collectors came. When, because of time, I'm not able to take you to, because it's another message on its own that I'm teaching you now. But because I want to chalk it into you so that you can have something to hold to go today. A lot of people are accepting John the Baptist's message, but other people were not accepting it. So Herodia nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was unable to. Look for every means to kill John the Baptist. In that Mark chapter 6, verse 19, chapter 20. Herodias wanted to kill him because Herod feared John and protected him. Verse 20. Knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. That's what that scripture says. Mark chapter 6 verse 20. He couldn't touch John the Baptist. He knew John the Baptist to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod had adjourned, he was greatly puzzled. Yet, he liked to listen to him. Can I say to you, church, even when the message is not sweet, you must listen to the man of God. Amen. When the message seems to be hitting us, let's listen. My message is hitting you. Listen. Because there is truth in that message. Amen. And Herod arrested John the Baptist under the pressure of Herodias and his advisors. So there was this day that this king now had birthday. Then to demonstrate before all his advisors and everybody. I think it's a thing of those days. To show off everything that God has given to him. And Herodias' daughter came to dance evil dance. Can I use this to chip it in again to all our young boys and young girls? Don't dance evil dance. There are some dances that cut people's head. There are some dances that make people to go to prison. Make sure this woman, I don't know the adulterous dance that has come to dance. There are some silly dance out there. You must not be worldly. You know, I started with this. Don't go out there and dance ugly dance. Dance that will make somebody to not be intoxicated. And then do wrong things. This adulterous dance was danced by Herodias' daughter. With a negatively ambitious mind. And when she came to dance, she pleased everybody that was sitting down. And the king, she was full of himself. And he was asking this adulterous, negatively ambitious girl who danced bad dance in her promise. He said, ask anything. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 talks about vow. We must know what we are vowing for. Ask anything. As far as this kingdom is connected, I will give you anything. He was thinking this girl will ask for nice things or money or something. The guy danced again. All this that. He said, do you want what? Then he went to the mother that has been looking for. He asked the mother, he said, Herod has asked me now to ask anything. Negatively ambitious because you have hatred and then you are pushing your children to do evil. You are ambitious to do evil. You have hatred for your friend, then you push other friends to do evil, to connect your friend. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
When she now went to her mother, guess what happened? Her mother said, somebody that has wanted to destroy somebody, that even the king had interest in. Her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is already in prison. But to ask for the head, and cut somebody's head off. There are many people that are cutting people's head off with their mouths, with your lips, with your character, with the way you push people to do evil. Proverbs chapter 6, haughty eyes, doing things that will cause people to, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. May the Lord deliver us from such things in the name of Jesus. And when this girl will go, he now went and asked for the head of John the Baptist. May you not be such a person.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Your amen is not such. You don't like
amen.
Me. Don't like me at all. Because I really want your amen to be very sweet.
Amen.
And in that Mark chapter 6, the king was reluctant. So reluctant and reluctantly. The head of John the Baptist. Ambitious for nothing. They don't need that head for anything. Because the mother was ambitious. Because the girl was ambitious. all what they desired came to pass. May ambitions not lead to the killing of someone else. In the name of Jesus. You see people that are ambitious, they can set trap for their boss in the office. Go shoot him. You have gangs now because we are in the country of God. Such people will not come to church in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They will only come to church to be born again.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in that book of Jeremiah that I'm teaching us in the Bible study, it says the heart of man is deceitful. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. So I can put it there. Do evil thing, plan evil thing. But we are all with one mind, with one heart, doing great things in the church. But you won't be surprised. There are some people that their heart is deceitful. Okay, you are still here. Okay, she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" You know, I've told you this story. "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl did what? Hurried into the king with a request. I want us to read together. "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Not just here. Bring it in a plate. Nice, rosy plate. Are they going to eat dinner with this? The king was greatly distressed. But because of his oath and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with order to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to who?
Her mother.
Ambitious. What happened to an ambitious person? On hearing of this, John's disciple came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. There are people that are still cutting people's head, either you like it or not. Depend on the way you cut the head. Some cut it live. Some cut it with gun. They shoot, they do evil. When you're ambitious, you can do anything. When you're negatively ambitious, you will do anything as long as it is done. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let ambition not take us more than we belong. We are still going on that scripture to sit on the right or on the left of Jesus. It's not for Jesus to decide. It is for God himself to decide. There are many things that I have here, but I quickly start to round up. Jesus asked them, "Are you able to drink from the same cup I'm about to drink from? Are you able to humble yourself? Are you able to suffer with me to the end?" Some people born again today, tomorrow, because of one thing or the other. I'm fed up of that Christianity thing. I can't understand. It's for older people. Let me enjoy life and come. Are you able to wear the crown of thorns? I'm asking you this question this morning. Are you able to drink from the bitter gall? Are you able to suffer being hung together with Jesus on the cross? To be nailed and die with him on the cross? Are you able to accept to be beaten with him? Can you share with him in suffering or death? We were in Jerusalem, maybe last month. We were taken to every point where Jesus carried the cross. We were walking on a well-decorated floor and shopping mall or market everywhere. So they took us to the point when he carried the cross, where Joseph the Arimathea, where he was judged. So we were going. I couldn't walk anymore. I got tired. Then I asked myself, Jesus carried, I didn't carry cross. I only carried my own body. This SS weight, that's what I was carrying. But he carried the cross. So I could see the picture of the cross. He was pattern. Somebody will do small thing to you, you're angry. Somebody, I'm leaving. Ah, is that you? God has brought you here, wants you established. Amen. Can you humble yourself to serve others? Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Jesus' love for little children. Are you ready to forgive the thief at the cross? Today, you will be with me in paradise. After talking rubbish, the other one just said, look, as far as I'm concerned, I know the reason why I'm being hung here, you know, instead of knowing your fault. But it was well. God's frustrate ambition when it comes from a heart of a person that is negatively ambitious. For such attitude does not come from him. This is Apostle William saying. In the book of Acts chapter 12, 1 to 5, it was about this time that the King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, this same James we are talking about, the brother of John. He had him put to death. Are you ready to suffer with me? It is not for those that play church. It's for those who are serious. Hardly did James know that this position that he's asking for is really going to die for it. So in the book of Acts chapter 12, the same James was killed, was put to prison with a sword. When he saw that this pleases the Jews, he proceeds to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trials after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was what? Earnestly praying to God for him. That was what saved Peter. If not, Peter too would have suffered that way. Many women in the body of Christ want position for themselves. They want position for their husbands and children, but are not ready to pay the price of being a disciple. Jesus asked them, greatness in his kingdom is servanthood. They can't make you a pastor if you cannot serve the people. They can't make you a deacon or deaconess if you cannot prove yourself. You are not going to be the last one that comes to the church is finished before you come. No. Only you target the preaching or you target after praise and worship you go. They cannot make you. This is the opposite of the world's view of greatness. Servanthood begins in the heart. Jesus is more concerned about the attitude in your hearts than your work. I read it to you, John 13, 1 to 17. Jesus' purpose and ambition is for us to love ourselves. Why was Jesus washing the feet of the people? So that we can serve one another in the household of faith. Not serve only the pastor. Not serve only the pastor's wife. Not serve each one. Don't hate one person and say, no, not me. Not fashionable like me. Why did Jesus show us humility so that we can serve one another? And also serve as our neighbor as ourselves. Serve one another and to fulfill his purpose while we are on earth and to reign with him forever in his kingdom. May the Lord help us in this evening. Acts, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Are you ready to be lonely on that island? I was there. We went to the cave of John in Patmos. It's a pity those people, some are fiery and some are not. You understand? We were there. Can I quickly chip this in? To sit at the right or the left of Jesus, to serve God. When we got to the church, there is a church, those of you that went with us, or those of you that have been there, the cave where John was, you know, on that island, they separated it there. We were entering the church. We put on our sun hats. The thing really covered our heads, isn't it? Those of you that went with me. But by the time we want to enter the church, the priest came. He said, we can't enter the church with our hats. The priest said, we can't enter the church. Huh? I look, I said, we have our hats on. He said, we can't enter. He said, we have to put scarf. Does anybody have scarf here now? Let me demonstrate it to you. So those of you have opportunity to serve Jesus anyhow, let us not overdo it. Amen. Amen. This is how. We thank God we have scarf that we used to like cover ourselves like this. We have now to tie this scarf. Jesus is not like that. Doesn't like that. We have to tie. Cover the whole our ears and everything. We have hearts. It's not like all these flying ones. It's not like this. Is it escort you call them or whatever? Fascinator. Fascinator. Whatever you call it. It's not fascinator. They won't even allow you to go into the church. We have to cover like this. So we are making church easy for you. Can I tell you to serve God? Somebody also came. We are in Jerusalem. Thank you. Somebody also came. We wore, because you can see what I'm wearing now. It was something. A little, mine is a little bit, I'm not trying to praise myself. That's why I cover like that. Because, it's hot. It was 42 degrees, my dear. Are you listening to me? We are playing church here. I'm teaching you all this to sit with Jesus on the right or left. It's not by joke. Some have to physically tell you. You know me, I have a loud voice. If we are going for sightseeing, you know, I like, this is the girl. I've been preaching, reverencing God. Holiness! The awesomeness of His presence. I've been preaching it. You have to take, I have to get to Jerusalem for them to teach me. Keep quiet. I taught Psalm 100. Enter His court with praise. I taught it. I did everything. I know it. But there, they have to teach me again. No talking here because I was excited. Hardly did I know that. We're in church. But because they're allowed to be in church, some people are praying their heads off before we were revealed because the guide was taking us. Then when we enter, we now saw people praying. That's why I thank God for this church. It's a praying church and a strong church. Church of the Word. That's why I have to follow up. Christianity is not it's difficult like that. We must observe it. Another place I go, we are in Canaan of Galilee. The lady came. I want spaghetti, was like spaghetti. It's really hot, 42. I say allow it in church when it's so hot like that. Not up to 42. You can't expose like this. The priest quickly came. You can't go in. I say, it's really hot. I will allow it. Say, you can't go in. We are still playing church here. Say, we can't go in. I say, we can't go in. But I didn't wear that. You know me, I always cover. Anyway, no matter how hot, I wear something to cover. So he said, I told the lady, do you know? The lady had something on, but it was hot. That's why he removed it, maybe tie it on the waist. He said, he has to remove it and wear it. I'm talking about orderliness in the household of faith. So sometimes God allows us to do anything we do. John, I'm sorry because I cheated. I said, John, you know, John and James, they were the ones that came with their mother. So we are talking about this same John, because I'm concluding now, and James. When they now got, they said they want to sit there. Say, it's not for me to judge. But John was on that island. Hallelujah. He experienced it. I'm happy that he's with Jesus now. Hallelujah. Say, I, John, your brother, and a companion in the suffering. We are all companion in the suffering. That's why we have to reflect Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And kingdom and patient endurance. Revelation 1:9. That are ours in Jesus was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Peradventure, you don't know. What is going on now in this nation? Some will go to prison. May God help us. I'm praying. I don't want to go to prison. You don't want to go to prison, do you? Nobody wants to go. The way it's going on now. The kingdom have to suffer violence. Violence have to take it by force. Taking it by force, you have to, are you taking Jesus or you are taking? It's still going to get there. That's why we must serve God if you are really serving God. It's not because of this wife, because we want to come and dance today. I can go on and on. Let it be a thing of the heart. Let it be a thing of servanthood. Let it be a thing of not too ambitious for nothing, but positively ambitious. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
I rest my case because I know time is going on. I can teach you this, but I don't want anybody's neck to break. Like Paul, when he preached the people out. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Are we ready to humble ourselves and serve one another? May the Lord grant us the grace to do this. Let's have our head bowed and our eyes closed. We want to pour your heart to the Lord. I know the heart of everyone that comes to church. You did not just come to church because we want to come and play church. We all came to church because we want Jesus to penetrate through our lives. We all came to church because we want to be used by God. We all came to church because we want God to transform us. We all came to church because we want to know more about Jesus. We all came to church because we want Jesus to be transparent through us. We all came to church so that we can bring the dying world to Christ. This is the reason. We didn't come because we want somebody's head on the platter. We didn't come because of Herodias' daughter to come and dance devil dance in the church to entice people so that men will be doing wrong things. We didn't come to church like that. We came to church with a clean heart. I pray this morning for that great reason why you came to church. May the Lord honor you.
Amen.
May the Lord honor me.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May we do the right thing in God.
Amen.
May we be positively influenced in everything that we do.
Amen.
May we have positive ambitions toward the things of God.
Amen.
May we have positive ambition to serve in the household of faith.
Amen.
People with positive ambition, they're women with a goal. They have the goal to do the best. I read it to you on Friday. They have clean hearts and clean hands and a pure heart. People that come to church, they want to belong to the generation of those who seek Him. Who seek His face, O God of Jacob, Selah. They want to make manifest that word, that scripture from the book of Psalm 24. We all read it. He talks about the generation of those who seek Him. Who seek the God of Jacob, Selah. Wait a minute and think about it. Do you want to belong to this generation? Are you part of this generation of those who seek Him? Who seek Him with a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart? Are you part of this generation? Or you are seeking Him out of flesh? Today the Lord will transform us.
Amen.
So that we can be that portrait. We can capture with the light of God shining through us. Our picture will be glorious. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
With the light of God shining through us, we can reflect Jesus in a good way. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I commit every one of us into your hand, including myself. If there be any way, Lord Jesus, that we have not represented you well. If there be any way, Lord Jesus, that we have been negatively influenced, negatively ambitious towards you. Lord, I pray that you forgive us.
Amen.
Cleanse us from inside out in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. Help us, oh God, not to crucify you a second time. Help us to always see you. See your picture at the cross. The portrait of Jesus at the cross of Calvary. When you said it is finished. And you said sorrow and sighing is finished from our lives. And I decree and declare this morning that sorrow and sighing indeed is finished.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we glorify your holy name. The Bible says, while we are yet speaking, Jesus has answered. Lord, I commit all the members of Bristol into your hands. I commit their father, Pastor Benson, and their mother, Deaconess Benson, into your hands. Lord, the grace and the wisdom to lead those people, let it come upon them in the name of Jesus. And the grace and the wisdom for everyone to submit, and that spirit of servanthood, let it come upon everyone.
Amen.
From their head to their toe, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
including the children.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for every department that is represented in this church, from the pulpit to the choir, to the ushers, to the technical group, to all those that evangelize all the time, going on the streets in Bristol to go and speak about God. Lord, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you take away every spirit of negatively ambitiousness from their heart, from their mind, from their spirit. Spirit of I want to be known, I want to be seen. I want people to know that I'm the one pressing the button. But let that spirit of humility come upon everyone in the name of Jesus, including myself as I do the work of ministry. The Bible says every time that Jesus does a miracle or anything, he just goes to hide himself. Doesn't want to be known. But yet, the work is going on. Lord, I pray for such spirit for everybody.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I prophesy as the man of God has spoken concerning your building. The Lord Almighty will give you your own place of worship.
Amen.
Where you will serve him.
Amen.
And the Lord Almighty will increase you in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. That son began to speak. He said, when we are but a few in number, you will remember this day and thank God as God brings crowd and many that are going to heaven into this church.
Amen.
And I decree and declare into your life, the book of Isaiah chapter 60, 22 says the least of you will be 1,000.
Amen.
The smallest a mighty nation.
Amen.
The Lord will plant into you that great grace of 1,000 men.
Amen.
That you to operate in every area of your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Riches of 1,000 men come to you.
Amen.
Grace of 1,000 men coming to you.
Amen.
And the Lord will increase this church.
Amen.
Physically.
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
In every alley.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
By the time we come here, there shall be testimony.
Amen.
Those of you that are trusting God to get him married, you'll be getting married.
Amen.
Those of you that are trusting God for the fruits of the womb, you'll be having children.
Amen.
Those of you that are trusting God for breakthrough, you have breakthroughs in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Those of you that are trusting God for a specific miracle that we do not know about, but you know, by the time we come here, you shall have testimony.
Amen.
In the name of the Father.
Amen.
And of the Son.
Amen.
Even those of you that are trusting God in the area of your education, you will pass with distinctions.
Amen.
You will pass with distinctions.
Amen.
And the Lord will grant you the grace to read hard.
Amen.
Because it's not by mouth. It's not by power.
Yes.
But by the Spirit of God. The Lord will grant you grace to read.
Amen.
There shall be testimonies.
Amen.
That you are prospering in your educations.
Amen.
In the name of the Father.
Amen.
And of the Son,
Amen.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen.
And the saints of God shout aloud,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I bring this message to a close as I invite Pastor. I believe you have all been blessed. Forgive me if my message has touched you in one way or the other, but it's just for the better. Of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just to bring peace. Let me address some of you that are married. There is something that is coming to me. There is something about marriage. There is something that helps you to keep your marriage. When you have to say, I'm sorry. I'm talking to women now. And I'm talking to men. When you have to say, I'm sorry when you are right. A lot of you still want to get married. Those of you that want to marry. When you are right in marriage, you say, I'm sorry, but it's for you to win. Amen. I just feel I should say this to you. You are right. You are on the right. Everybody knows you're on the right. But you have to say you are sorry because you are right. If you have not gotten to that, then you don't want to marry, or maybe you think about it. That's one of the things, the pillars that will help you to sustain your marriage. So if you are not ready to say you are sorry, when you are right, you want to fight your right in marriage, then you don't need to marry. The Lord will grant you greater understanding than that. When I have the time, I'll come and talk to married men, married women. And it hurts me He too apologized to me. But when you are ready to say you are sorry, when you are right, then the marriage is solidified. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.